Kelly Osbourne has lived her entire life in the spotlight as the daughter of one of the world's best-known rock stars. She appeared alongside her family in the pioneering reality series The Osbournes, and then went on to become famous in her own right as a television personality, host, fashion designer, singer, and actress. There's been no shortage of drama, controversy, and pain, but Kelly has emerged as one of the entertainment world's most confident, idiosyncratic, and winning personalities, sure of who she is and loving the life she leads. In her new book, There Is No Effing Secret, she shares stories from her crazy life that she hopes will inspire us to embrace all the weird and wonderful things that indeed make us unique. It is a great pleasure to welcome Kelly Osbourne to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I am so good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's very nice to have you on the program. It's a real delight.
It was so nice to hear that lovely rendition of Changes before you started speaking too. I hadn't heard it like that before.
Well, you know, I have to say, I assume the name of the book is There Is No Effing Secret. So I assume that this came out of a concern that you have of people asking you what the secret is.
Partly, yes. 100%. It was a frustration after I lost weight that people would always say, oh my God, you look great. What's your secret? Or, oh my God, you're not fat and ugly. You're actually really cute. What's your secret? I'm like, what are you talking about? This took forever. Like, do you not see how miserable this journey was? And then I realized how selfish I was for thinking that way. Because if I haven't told them, they live their own life. They're not going to be looking at mine all the time. So, it's selfish for me to see them the way I want them to, for them to see me the way I want to be seen if I haven't told them who I am.
You write.
So that's why it was really important to me just to bare my soul, lay it all out on the table, and then people can make up their own mind.
And, well, just on that, and you don't care what conclusion they come to.
No, I'm not for everybody, so why should everyone else? I live by the rule of, you don't have to like everyone, but you do have to love everyone. Because we live in a world right now where people have stopped caring about people, where we are forced by society to chase this unrealistic idea of what perfection is, and there is no such thing as perfection. And that is sanitizing people's brains and souls. And I want to break that mold. I want people to know that you have the right to be who and whatever you want to be in this world. It's just simply whether or not you can find the bravery within yourself to do it. And that is a very difficult thing to do.
You write the book as a collection of letters. What inspired you to go into that format?
Well, have you ever noticed? I'm a big talker, so I ramble a lot. And I wrote this book. I had help with it, of course, because I'm severely dyslexic and I'd never written a book before. So Kate Williams, I found her through my publisher, and she was incredible. She understood my brain. And at first we started by bullet pointing all like the topics. And there were so many topics. And I started just to write things, and then I'd send it to her. And then I found some letters that I wrote to my family. Because of my dyslexia, I would write them down by hand and then get somebody at rehab to spell check it for me, and then I'd rewrite it. So I have all the spell-checked versions, like almost like a school paper that you handed in. So I started to read through some of those letters. And then I asked my mom if I could read through the ones that she'd saved, and she said yes. And one of my favorite comedians, the Dawn French, wrote a book and she did it in letter form. And I was like, this is the way to do it. This is how we can do it. And this is also how I can get my point across, that you don't have to pick this book up and read from page one to the end. You can pick it up and read whatever chapter you want and get and laugh and cry wherever you want. You don't have to read it all the way through, because I think that's something that drives me nuts in myself, is that I start a book and then I just don't finish it, even if I really love it.
There are letters to your mom, your dad, your brother. Can we assume
my vagina, Jones, Lyme's disease?
I was gonna
I mean, we cover the board.
I was gonna get to the vagina letter in a second, because you note in that the beginning of that, that if you're a member of your family, they may want to skip that chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I would die if my dad read that, but die. I'm not even allowed to wear low-cut tops in front of my father. Like, he'll walk up and, like, pull my shirt up.
But it would seem, I would think, that in the letters to your family, that much of what you have conveyed to them in the letters that we're reading, you have already conveyed to them personally.
Yeah, but you know what? You can never tell someone you love them enough.
Yeah.
If you really love them.
Yes.
And how much they mean to you. You know, my mother and father have worked so hard every day of their life so that I can have a better life. So any chance I get, I'm going to tell them how much I love them and how much I appreciate them and respect them.
So with that said, you...
But I will tell you this funny part of it. When I gave the book to everyone in my family before I gave it to my publisher. Because I wanted to make sure there was nothing in there that, you know, could affect my niece or that they didn't like. No questions asked, they could take it out. My dad was the only one that, like, tried to make his worse. what are you talking about? He goes, well, I think you should put that I was a bad father. And I go, but you weren't a bad father. You weren't a bad father. You were different, granted, I'll give you that. But you were not a bad father. Not a day went by where you didn't tell me you loved me. Not a day went by that I wasn't clothed, beautiful clothes, with a roof over my head and food on the table. And I was loved. So please tell me how you're a bad father, because I'm not going to be a 32-year-old woman who's sitting here, like, not happy about how I was treated when I was five.
Yeah.
It doesn't... My dad, you're my best friend. You're my hero. I'm not writing this. He's like, well... You know, back then when things were different, I'm like, Dad, no, leave it. So everybody got the chance to go through things and read it. And I'm happy that I've somehow managed not to hurt anybody in this process.
Did you...
Because I know that it's good.
You have said that the most difficult letters to write were the ones that you wrote about your mother's cancer and your dad's accident. Because
yes.
Obviously very painful chapters in their
life. I can't read the chapter out loud. I went in and I've done my book on my audiobook. That chapter, I was pretty much crying through half of it. I had to keep going back to re-record it. I can't. It was just all of those feelings coming back and remembering things I completely forgot. And it also made me realize how powerful the human brain can be. Because there was stuff that I really did forget. And having to remember again was not fun, but very therapeutic.
And then, again, back to your vagina letter, you also say that was, that also would be a very difficult letter to write because you were, you know, your parents would read it.
Well, I think that would be no disrespect at all. Well, would it be hard for you to write a letter to your penis? Not really, because you have one.
Well, I do.
For me,
I don't know.
It was more about teaching people that it's a body part that you have to respect, and that, you know, a lot of the time, you know, through self-esteem issues, you know, women get lost in a lot of feelings and go down roads they normally wouldn't and disrespect their bodies. And it's more about empowering the puss than shaming it, if you know what I mean.
I do. How much do you feel, and I don't want to put words in your mouth certainly, but is there a double-edged sword to the life you've led in the sense that You have these wonderful opportunities presented to you and that you've worked very hard for, but you also were in the public eye from the time you were born. Is that a double-edged
yeah.
sword, and do you realize that even more in writing these letters?
Isn't everything a double-edged sword in life now, though?
Yeah.
You know, you help one person
so.
And you think you've done good, and then somehow in the process of helping that person, you've managed to piss someone else off.
Right. No, that's true.
It's just that life, unfortunately. It's about figuring out a way to live life on life's terms. And I know I'm sat here talking to you right now like I miss Polly Positive, but I still have some days where I look at myself and I'm like, you're a fat, you're a gutless wonder. What's the point in even getting out of bed? And then, you know, you just start to remember like, how lucky you are that you even have something to complain about.
When you...
And just to shut up and get on with it.
And... So for you now, because I get the sense that you never really have had like a master plan of what you wanted to accomplish. It's always been you.
Oh, I do have a master plan.
You do have a master plan
of what I want to accomplish. I do, but there are things that, God, I'm being really honest with you. It's crazy that I feel like I owe and bridges that I need to rebuild because of the mistakes I made in my past before I can move forward with that.
So career-wise, do you say, okay, this is what I would like to explore? Because as I mentioned in the introduction, there's so many different avenues that you have.
I know, I want to do more acting, definitely more music. The song I recorded for my character on the Disney Channel, Hildy Gloom on the 7D, it was written by Perry Gripp, and it's nominated for a Daytime Emmy, which is amazing.
That's really cool.
And, you know, doing voiceover work is so much fun, and getting to do more of it. And it's such a small little world. Everyone knows everyone. But it actually made my acting skills better. So that, I'm going to do more music. I want to create more TV stuff, but the big thing that I'm doing right now, I'm not allowed to tell anyone about. But it's really, really cool and nothing that you would ever have expected coming from me.
Mm-hmm. Are you...
But I think it's going to change my life.
When you think about that...
Because, you know, my dream is to be able to build this, what I'm building I can't talk about yet.
Yeah.
And that way I can look after my parents. So that my parents never have to work again.
Wow. Well, that would be lovely. And doable, right? I mean, you look at these things and say, okay, these are...
I don't know. My mom was giving birth to me and still on the phone making business deals, so I don't know if I'll be able to stop them. But it's a thought that counts, and I will try my hardest.
All right. Well, there's that. Well, you seem to me to be... and I got the sense in reading the book, I get the sense from years of watching you, you just seem to be, now I know we all have the pain in our life, we all have difficulties, but you seem to be an overtly positive person, and the type of person that when I would meet you, that I would tend to go in for a hug more than a handshake, because you seem very warm.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
I'm a total hugger, I am. Thank you for saying that, I am a hugger, because... You know, you're meeting people that are more than likely going to be in your life for a very long time. We're all in the same industry. And I never, ever want to be one of those unapproachable people that, like, ooh, you can't go up and talk to them. Like, that just seems so miserable.
Yeah. And yet you still, in the sub...
I like that people want to talk to me because I want to talk to everyone.
And yet, in the subtitle, you still refer to yourself as a badass bitch.
I've taken enough for it, so.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Oh, my gosh, this is live, isn't it?
No, that's all right. We
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I think we dumped you. You're okay. You're all right.
I'm so sorry.
You're okay. It's all fine. It's all fine.
I thought, oh, my gosh, I've been doing so good all morning.
Well, I'm just thrilled you did it on our show. Kelly, I love you to death. I thank you so much.
I'm going to use an American word. Darn it. Bloody hell. Kelly, I've been doing so good.
You're a delight. I thank you so much. Love to you, and congratulations on the book, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I really hope that people get this book and you know, get something from it and laugh along and cry along with me, because it is good, and I never say about that about anything I do.
No, it is. Very much so. All right. Well, love to you. Thank you very much, and we appreciate you for being with
us
this morning.
And I'm really sorry for swearing.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We got a button that makes it go away. Don't worry about it. All right. Kelly Osborne's new book is There Is No Effing Secret. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.